As you heard, Eldon is out of town, so I get the sermon for today. And I got to tell you, I've had a really, really good few days of study, and I'm actually very, very excited to share this message with you today on Father's Day. And I hope that it is a blessing to you as well. It's always a blessing to hear God's word, isn't it? Amen? Amen. So even if the preacher fumbles and doesn't know for sure what he's going to say or where it's going next, it's always a good thing to hear God's word. So we'll just keep that in mind today. Mother's Day was a few weeks ago, and if you were here, which probably you were, because I think Mother's Day was the best attended Sunday of the entire year so far this year. But if you were here, Eldon spoke that day on the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and he spoke on the boldness of that mom, her bold request to have her sons sit on either the right hand or the left hand of Jesus in his kingdom. Maybe you remember that. And Eldon praised that woman for not only her boldness, but also for wanting the best for her boys and for seeking the kingdom before all other things. And so Mother's Day, now we're here a few weeks later and we're at Father's Day, so I get the Father's Day message. And so today we're going to focus in on the men. And so, but that doesn't mean that we don't all have something to learn from today's message, just because it's focused more directly at the men, because actually what we're going to see and what hopefully we'll each be able to appreciate more is Jesus's love for us, because we're going to look at a passage that talks specifically about how Jesus loves us. And I got to tell you, this study has just really, really blessed me this week, and I'll try my very best to keep to my notes, but there's just so much that could be said here. But what we're going to do is we're going to explore three aspects of Jesus' love for you. And then in application, men, we're going to challenge ourselves to love our wives as Christ loves the church. So that's where we're going today. Some of the structure of this particular message, I have to give credit to Tim Challies, who wrote an article on his website last month about this subject, and I'm borrowing a little bit of his outline today. So anyhow, before I read our passage today, I just want to say a couple of quick things. We're going to be talking about men and how we are to love our wives. And so maybe you think to yourself, I'm not married. Well, this message is still for you. Because as we listen close to this passage, we'll find that all Scripture is profitable. All Scripture is profitable. So even if you're not married, if you're a man and you're not married, I promise you this message is for you today. Or maybe you think to yourself, I'm not a father. Here we are on Father's Day and I'm not a father. I don't know if this message is for me. Well, I actually learned a lot on the Mother's Day message. And obviously I'm not a mom. And so, once again, this message is for you today. And then also, I just wanted to say one quick thing to the ladies in the congregation. This message is also for you, because it is about how Jesus loves you and treasures you and cherishes you. And I don't know what the word is. I don't want to be weird or funny or anything like that, but let me say very, very honestly to you, this message is not ammunition for you to clobber your guy with, if you know what I mean. I know that I have the tendency accidentally sometimes to listen to a message, and while I'm listening to it, I'm thinking about the person that this would be perfect for. Yeah, have you guys ever done this? And you're like, oh man, they need to hear this. I need to, like, once we get it posted on the website, I got to paste it on their Facebook page and say, listen to this and get better. But here, I promise you that there is no message that is preached from this pulpit that is primarily designed for you to talk to your neighbor about. There's no message preached from this pulpit that's mainly for somebody else. It's for you. Because God's word changes each one of us, changes me, and changes you. So I encourage you today to listen for yourself. Listen for yourself. Listen to what God might have to say to you today. So with that, let's pray. Father, we've already come to you a few times today, but we come to you again. Lord, we acknowledge that you are our Heavenly Father. If Father's Day is about anybody, it's about you. And so, Lord, we want to worship you. We want to honor you. We want to, as Michael read, we want to hear your word and not just hear it, but do it. Obey. Father, you are the one that has loved us so much. And Jesus, you are the bridegroom. And so, Lord, as we listen to this message today and we think about fathers, we think about husbands, Lord, we just want to hear what you have to say. We want to exalt in the word. Father, we want to be changed by your word. And so work in us today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so like I said, we're going to explore three aspects of Jesus' love for you. And then in application, men, we're going to challenge ourselves to love our wives as Christ loves the church. So for Father's Day, instead of talking about fatherhood, we're going to be talking about marriage. We'll be talking about marriage. And why would we do that? Why would we talk about marriage instead of fatherhood on Father's Day? Well, there's a widely accepted axiom. It's not in the Bible, but it's widely accepted that the most important thing that a father can do in order to love his children is to love their mother. Maybe you've heard this before. Most important thing that a father can do to love his children is to love their mother. And so we're going to look at a passage that specifically talks about husbands loving their wives. Now, you might think to yourself, I feel like I've given a bunch of disclaimers already, but you might think to yourself, but wait, there's a bunch of fathers that don't have wives. Yes, that's true. Or you might say, there's a lot of single parents in our church. Yes, that's true as well. Or you might say, but there's a lot of households where men are raising kids in the house that are not biologically theirs. Again, yes, that's true. But despite all of that, what we're going to see is that the Bible continually steers us to the truth that your marriage, men, your marriage comes first, and then the kids. The priority should be on your marriage and then on the kids. If you put the priority on the kids, what happens? A lot of times the marriage just about goes out the window. We've probably seen this happen before. I know I have. So what we're going to look at today is if you want to be a good father, which I hope that you do, I want to. If you want to be a good father, it starts with being a good husband. Starts with being a good husband. And the good news is this. God doesn't leave us to wonder about what does it mean to be a good husband. He doesn't leave us wondering about that. He teaches us very, very clearly in his word what it means to be a husband that's pleasing to him and a husband that can bless your wife. So I'm going to be in Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 25 to 32. Ephesians 5, 25 to 32. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds it and he cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. And for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So once again, we're going to explore three aspects of Jesus' love for you, and then in application, men, we're going to challenge ourselves to love our wives as Christ loves the church. So, three ways that Jesus loves you. Number one, Jesus loves you with a sacrificial love. Jesus loves you with a sacrificial love. That's how the passage starts. Love your wives just as Christ loved the church, that's you, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. Gave himself up for her. Jesus gave up his life in order to set apart his bride for God's will. It says he loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. Gave himself up to make her holy. To make holy just simply means to sanctify. That's what ESV says. To sanctify or to set apart for a special service. What it means is get this. Jesus died, gave his life to purchase your invitation, to purchase your invitation to live with God and for God. Jesus died to purchase your invitation so that you could live with God and for God. That's what he gave his life for. That's what he gave himself up for. His love is not selfish. It's sacrificial. He gave himself. I say it's not selfish because over in Philippians 2, maybe you remember, it talks about how Jesus had a status in heaven, equality with the Father, and he didn't grasp it. He didn't cling to it. He didn't hold on to it for dear life. Instead, he gave it up. And he humbled himself, and he came to the earth, and he died for you. To purchase an invitation so that you could live with God and for God. He died to set you free and to make you holy. And I say he wasn't selfish because it's wild to think about, but when he did this, it was of no benefit to him. No benefit. He was not lonely. He was not unhappy. He did not need you. But he chose you. He chose to love you. So it was a true sacrifice for him to even come for us. Let alone to come and to die for us. It was of no benefit to him. He gave of himself and then gave his life, humbling himself to come for you. To set you free and to give you an invitation to live with God and to live for God. What he did for your benefit. And so he loves you in such a way that he would give up and did give up whatever it took. Whatever it took so that you could be free to live with God and to live for God. Jesus' love is sacrificial. He loves you with a sacrificial love. And so in application, husbands, this is our calling. Is our calling as men to love with a sacrificial love. And if you think about it, it can sound rather heroic to love with a sacrificial love. Because you can maybe imagine the scene with me, like you and your wife and maybe your kids, you've been taken hostage by the bad guys. And one of the bad guys stands up and he says, "Somebody's got to die here. You choose." And probably, men, a lot of us would step forward and we would say, "Spare them, take me," right? Probably. I don't know. You never really know until you're there, I suppose. But probably we'd step forward and say, "Not them. No, take me." And that would be heroic. And you would probably make the news and everything because you gave yourself. You would get the chance to be a hero. Unfortunately, marriage is not exactly like that. Because marriage is every single day. It's not a one-time blaze of glory, go out and make the news. But instead, it's a each day setting aside some of our own desires, our own wants, and instead giving up on behalf of our wife. It's daily. And it's hard because we're inherently selfish. I know I am, and I see this so much in my own marriage. I see my selfishness, and I hate it, and I detest it, because I know that I want to live in this sacrificial way, but man, I'm selfish. And probably, if you're willing to admit it, you see it in yourself as well. It's hard because we're all, each one of us, so selfish in many ways. And we live in a culture that just absolutely glorifies selfishness a lot. It encourages you to think about yourself and put yourself first. And so we get focused on ourselves. We don't want to give up our freedoms. We don't want to give up our preferences. We don't want to give up my time. I'm selfish. But it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. So the question for the guys is, men, are you willing to invest time, your time, into your wife, into your relationship with your wife? Are you willing to do that? Men, would you be willing to let go? This one's hard for me. Would you be willing to let go of some of your own goals, some of your own dreams, so that she can have some of hers? Sacrificial love. Would you be willing to fight hard against the sin in your own life, in your own heart, so that you could love her as she deserves? Would you be willing to live more for her good than for your own? If so, then you're getting the idea of what it means to love her as Christ has loved the church. Jesus loves you with a sacrificial love. That's number one. Number two is Jesus loves you with a cleansing love. If you look at the next verse, it says that, so he gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the water, by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church. Jesus loves you with a cleansing love. Cleansing is kind of a funny word to think about whenever you think of the concept of love. But when we trust Christ, when you come to Christ and trust him, he makes you clean. We get that idea. He cleanses you. He makes you clean. He washes us. And he does this through his love. In the book of Titus, this concept is called the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. The washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Jesus cleans us and makes us new through his love. He takes away the impurities. He removes them. He removes the things that keep us from living with God and living for God. And really, that's what baptism is such a good picture of. It's this washing. The old is washed away, and the new has a chance to spring to life in you because of what Jesus has done. And so he cleans us. Jesus loves you with a cleansing love. And did you know that after he does this, that he rejoices over you? It's a weird concept. It's hard for me to imagine, but God actually rejoices over you. It says in Isaiah 62, as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. He rejoices over you. He has cleaned you. He has set you free. And now he rejoices over you. He's excited about us. He eagerly waits to see what you will do with the gifts that he's given you. He wants to see what you're going to make. He wants to see what you are going to build. He wants to see what you'll create. Our God is a creative, passionate being, and he wants to see his bride flourish in the grace that he's given. That's the kind of love that he has for you. He rejoices over you. In fact, in Zephaniah 3, it says this, "The Lord your God is with you, and he is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you, and he will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing." Rejoice over you with singing. I have no idea what it sounds like when God sings, but I bet it's pretty awesome. I look forward to actually hearing that one of these days. But he does that even today. He rejoices over his bride with singing, singing songs about us. Jesus loves you with a cleansing love, a love that purifies, a love that makes us radiant. No stains, no wrinkles. His love is making you a masterpiece. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Guys, we are called to rejoice in who God has made her to be. To rejoice, to help her to identify God's grace in her life. To spend time with her in God's word, because God's word refreshes us and cleans us and purifies us. Guys, we're called to praise her with our own words as well and encourage her in her spiritual growth. Really, we're just called to live out the gospel right before her with our actions, to live it out and to love her with a cleansing, encouraging, refining love, just like how Jesus loves us. Man, that's a high calling. That is a high calling. And I know for me, I mean, too often I just get all wrapped up in trying to make my wife like me. Maybe you guys do the same thing. I think, my life would be so much better if Laura were just like me. And it's it's such a lie. It's the last thing that I need is a whole nother me. And that's not our job as husbands, because Jesus is making her to be like him, not like me. Jesus is making your wife to be like him, and you husbands get to participate in that process. You get to participate. We get to be an agent of Christ in her life. So our job is just to help him wherever we can, to be in the word together with your wife, to worship with her, to help her to find her own talents, God-given talents, and help her to overcome the sin and the darkness that's in her life. Guys, we can pray that Jesus will shape our wives to be more and more like himself. And then we get to watch and participate in that miracle. Because Jesus loves us. He loves you with a cleansing love. The last one is that Jesus loves you with a protecting love. So we've got sacrificial love, we've got cleansing love, and protecting love. If you look at the next part, it says this in verse 28 of Ephesians 5. "In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church." Jesus loves you, his bride, with a protecting love, because he is our great provider. He is our great protector. We trust him for guidance. We know that Jesus always has the long-range goal in mind. So he provides and he protects. He is the great shepherd, and he cares for us in a way that nobody else ever can. He loves us with a protecting love, shields us from the enemy, leads us to green pastures, leads us by the still waters. Folks, he loves you. And this passage reminds us, men, that loving your wife is loving yourself. Loving your wife is loving yourself, because you and her are one. Like it used to be me and my wife, now it's just we. It's just us, because we're one. And so if I love her, I am loving myself. So this is not rocket science, but all it means is this. Anything I would do to protect myself, anything I would do to care for myself, anything I would do to feed myself, I should do so even more willingly for her. Even more willingly for her. Because in loving her, I love myself. So does she need anything? Do I know if she needs anything? Have I asked? I love her with a protecting love. A love that's looking out for her interests, even above our own interests, right? And those interests, your wife's interests, many of them are here and now, but a lot of them, a lot of the most important ones are not. A lot of her deepest interests are in eternity. I like weddings. I like to go to weddings. I seem to get to go to a lot of weddings. And weddings are always an occasion for a lot of joy and a lot of celebration. There's a lot of reasons to smile at weddings. But if it's biblical, if it's a biblical wedding, if you ever notice, there's always just a hint of sorrow in the wedding also. Do you know what I'm talking about? The traditional wedding vows always say, until death do us part. They always say, till death do us part. And there's some of the younger folks, they don't want to have that in their wedding because it's kind of sad. We don't want to have to mention the fact that death is inevitable, because we all kind of want to be in denial of our mortality. And so we don't want to have that as part of it. But it's an important part of the wedding vows, I think, that we're together until death does us part. Because you might have your bride for 60 or maybe even 70 years, but there will come a day when death will part you. And the marriage will be over. But the good news is this. The marriage is over, but we're not. We're not over. Guys, your wife has a glorious, never-ending future. And you get this small part of it, 60, maybe 70 years, depending on when you get married. But man, she's just getting started. So our task as husbands with this protecting love is to prepare her today for what she will be then. To prepare her today for what she will be then. We have the joy of helping her towards that day. And listen, God has appointed you. He picked you out to love her with a protecting love, leading her and guiding her and protecting her all the way home. All the way home. And I totally believe in my own heart that one day each one of us guys will all stand before the Lord, and he'll say to us, I've given you many, many gifts. And you know how this goes in the parable that Jesus says. He wants a report on the gifts. But the greatest gift that he gives is, he says, and I gave you my daughter, to be your wife on this journey. And so what have you done? And it will be our joy that day to come before him and present her back and say, thank you. I return her to you. She is now a radiant bride. I pray that for myself, I don't have to say, I'm sorry for all the emotional scars that she's got on her. I'm sorry that I didn't do these things. I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on you. But guys, there is a day where we stand before him and we give that gift back because she's his anyway. We love with a protecting love because Jesus loves us with a protecting love. So, hey, I need to wrap this up. We've talked about three things. Jesus loves you with a sacrificial love, with a cleansing love, purifying, and with a protecting love. And so I'm not really sure what to say now. But the point is this, that Jesus loves you. He loves you today. And he wants to be with you, and he gave himself for you so that you could live with God and could live for God.